I want to welcome you all this morning to our class, adult class. We want to continue the series in Witness to the Resurrection. And today we're going to examine John the Baptist. Amen. The title of the series is Witness to the Resurrection, the Life and Times of Early Disciples. How many times have you said, I wished I walked the earth when Jesus did? I would really be impacted in my faith if I had a walk with Jesus. Well, this class and the class series is intended to close that gap by taking an in-depth look at various characters in the New Testament, how they were impacted by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to our Heavenly Father for a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the life of Jesus. Thank you for the death of Jesus. But Father, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Because without that resurrection, Father, we would have no hope. Father, Jesus went to the cross to give his life for our sins. And for that, we are forever and eternal grateful. Father, we ask that your spirit be with us today, that the words that are heard today are your words, Father, and that they are impacted on our hearts. We want to thank you for all that you do for us. We give thanks, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to talk about John the Baptist, or John the Immerser, or John the Harbinger, or John the Herald. He had many surnames, but he's known best as John the Baptist. He was a harbinger. He was a herald for Jesus. He was the one who was to prepare the way. He was the one to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This morning, we're going to talk about several things. We're going to look at the prophecy of John. We're going to look at the biography of John. We're going to look at the message that John preached. We're going to look at his death. And we're also going to look at how he was a witness to the resurrection. John the Baptist was a prophetic character. He prepared the way for Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." That's some very heavy words. This is talking about and foretelling the coming of John the Baptist, who was foretelling about the coming of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Let's look at the prophecy and how the prophecy came to be foretold and fulfilled. We just read in Isaiah about the coming and the one who's going to prepare the way for Jesus. Amen? Now let's look at how it was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3. Beginning in verse 3, the Bible says, "This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey." That should tell you something about John right there.
Yeah.
First and foremost, he wasn't the usual normal person that you see. He wore some clothes that were not of his surroundings, if you will. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan. And let's look again at how the prophecy was fulfilled in Mark's account. And let me just share this with you, too. In studying this character, John, it's amazing how in the Gospels, or the four Gospels, two of the Gospels start out talking about John the Baptist. It's amazing. The book of Mark and the book of Luke, which we'll examine a little bit later on, talk about John the Baptist before they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. We'll read that in a few minutes. But starting in verse 2 of Mark chapter 1, it says, "It is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt, around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Amen. John was thought to be that of Elijah. Because Elijah, if you go back to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 1, Elijah also wore camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. So when John came on the scene, people started thinking, whoa, has Elijah been resurrected? No, but he walked in the same way and the same path that Elijah did. So now, we've looked at the prophecy and how that prophecy has been fulfilled during that time. The next thing we want to look at is the biography of John. We're going to find out that he was born in the hill country of Judea to the parents of Elizabeth and Zechariah of the tribe of Levi. He was raised as a Nazarene, no wine. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at birth. The word of the Lord came to him in the year 15th year of Tiberius Caesar of the Caesar clan. We all know of Tiberius and other Caesars. He baptized Jesus about 2 months after the word of the Lord came to him. He was imprisoned by Herod after only about 6 months of his ministry. This happened around the spring of 28 AD. He sent his disciples to question Jesus while he was in prison. And he was executed by Herod in the winter of 28 AD, about 15 months after the word of God came to him. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. For me, Luke has a very, very vivid account of the life of John the Baptist. We're going to begin reading verse 1. And listen to Luke's words. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those whom from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Let's stop here for a second. I thought this to be quite interesting why Luke talked about Herod and talked about Abijah. So I went back and did a little study and wanted to share with you a little history of King Herod. Herod the Great was the second son of, I had to look this word up and how it's pronounced, Antipater, which is a Greek word, who was also appointed by Julius Caesar, another one of the Caesar family, to be procreator of Judea in 47 BC. Now, this is the same Herod the Great who sent out the Magi to go to look for Jesus after he was born, after being born for 2 years, because he wanted to kill Jesus because he knew that Jesus was going to be the next king of the Jews. This Herod the Great was an Idumean by birth, but he professed to be a Jew. Now, he only professed to be a Jew only to be able to promote his own secular interests and ambitions. Thus, for the first time, the throne of Judah was filled by a person not of Jewish descent. And so this was the first time that the throne of the Jews was not ruled by a Jewish person. He reigned for 37 years. He was the king appointed by the Romans. And he was born in the last year. And Jesus was born in the last year of Herod the Great's reign. And that's why he wanted to have Jesus killed, because he knew that he was going to be the next king of the Jews. Now, Herod married 10 wives, by whom he had several children. His third wife's name was Miriam, which we're going to talk about a little bit, the daughter of Simon, a person of some note in Jerusalem. So Herod made him the high priest in order to obtain his daughter. She was the mother of Herod Philippi, or Philip. Her name was Salome. And Herod married Herodias, the mother of Salome. And we're going to find out a little bit later that her daughter was a famous dancer. All right? We're going to talk about that very, very shortly. Now we're going to look at Zechariah. Because Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, we're going to find out that he was the priest of the division of Abijah, and that he was kept in silence until the birth of John the Baptist. Now, we just read about Abijah. He was Zechariah was a division of Abijah. Abijah means, let's go here. Abijah means in translation, my father is Yahweh, or Yahweh is father, or my father is Jehovah, or Jehovah is father. Abijah was the eighth of the 24 orders of the courses of David. David, during his time, selected 24 courses, if you will. These courses were also known as priests, and they all had certain responsibilities. Because the tribe of Israel was so large, David had to segment them, if you will. Had to divide them. So he divided them into 24 courses. And we're going to read about that a little bit later also. And these courses were chosen by lot. All right? So they were not actual priests, but they had priestly duties. And we're also going to find out about the message that John preached. Pardon me. Also, a note, too, was that Abijah was the son of Rehoboam. And we know that Rehoboam was one of the kings of Judah. And Abijah actually succeeded his father on the throne of Judah. All right? All right. Let's go to the message now. The message that John preached, or that was foretold in Malachi chapter 3. Let's go over it again. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Now, we want to examine this message. This, again, was foretold by Malachi of John and the message that John was going to preach to the Judeans and those in Jerusalem. Let's look at his message for a second. In verse 2 of Malachi 3, it says in the red, then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in former years. Now, we're going to contrast that with the message that John preached in the wilderness. That's hard to read. I know you can read it, but we're looking at Luke now, chapter 3. And in verse 7, it says, John said to the crowds coming to be baptized, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Here it coincides with what the message that was going to be preached by John was foretold by Isaiah. Okay? Let me get my screen up here. Now, let's go and look at, again in Malachi. Let's look at verse 5. He says, I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against adulterers. Look at the contrast now in Luke chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, but when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them. So see, we see here that Isaiah foretold that John was going to talk about those who testify against adulterers. He's going to testify against adulterers. And sure enough, in Luke chapter 3, in verse 19, he is talking to Herod about his sinful life and his marriage to his brother's wife. All right? Let's look at another one. He said he's going to testify against perjurers. In Luke 3, verse 14 and 15, and verse 14, it says, some of the soldiers asked him, what should we do? John told them, do not accuse people falsely. So again, another fulfillment of what John was going to be preaching. All right, come on. All right, there we go. It also says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 5, that he was going to testify against those who defraud laborers and their wages. In Luke chapter 3, we see that in verse 12, even tax collectors do not collect any more than you are required to. In verse 14, told the soldiers, do not extort money. So we see how, again, the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied John would preach is coming true. All right? It makes sense? And come on, clicker. All right. Going back again to Malachi chapter 3, verse 5, it was foretold that he would preach to those who oppressed the widows and the fatherless. In verse 11, it says, anyone who has two shirts, in Luke chapter 7, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 3, in verse 11, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. This is the message that John taught. This is the message that was prophesied that he would teach. All right? Now let's go back and look at the birth. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read his life. In Luke chapter 1, going back to starting again in verse 6, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Remember, we talked about how how Israel was divided into 24 courses, and they were chosen by lot by David. Well, here it's highlighting how Zechariah was chosen by lot. And Zechariah had the opportunity. He was the one who actually went into the temple and actually burned the incense to be sent to God for the forgiveness of sins. He was the one who actually went in and prayed for those for the repentance of sins at that time, all right? At the time when the burning of incense came, all the assembled worship were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar. Here we go. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now, because you didn't believe me, You will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you do not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he stayed so long in the temple. I don't know how long this lasts, but I know a vision from the angel Gabriel was truly startling. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. Now, their time of service was a week long. So every day they were to go into the temple to burn incense to the Lord. And each course's service was 1 week long. So I don't know how long, it doesn't say how long that Zechariah was in the temple or what day this actually happened, but on the seventh day when he came out, he couldn't say a word. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." We'll scroll down to verse 39. Luke tells a very good story of the life and birth of John the Baptist. At that time, Mary, his aunt, got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, at this time, Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So now we have Elizabeth, and we know that the baby is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? And then there's more to come. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." John's already getting ready to prepare the way. When he heard the voice of his aunt, knowing that he's going to be the cousin of the Lord himself, he leaped for joy. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Let's scroll down to verse 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. So Mary was with Elizabeth at the time of the birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child and were going to give him the name after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." Now remember, Zechariah can't say a word. He's been silent for all this time, for at least 6 months. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. It wasn't what we know of today. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Because in those times, children took on the name of their fathers. And that's what they were expecting Zechariah to do, to name his son after him. But no, Zechariah said, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who had heard this wondered about everything. Everyone who had heard this wondered about, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" They knew he was going to be special, for the Lord's hand was with him. And look what else happened. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Now we got the father, the mother, and the son filled with the Holy Spirit. Can't go wrong. Zechariah prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation for my enemies and for the land of from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising of the sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. We see here the baby, the mother, and the father were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all in line of the family and the throne of David, and we see now how all this is coming to fruition. Amen? Amen. Let's look over in Luke chapter 3. We know that he paved the way. He was a preparer of the way for Jesus. We know that he was the one who was unworthy to untie the sandals of Jesus because of whom he was. We know of the message that he preached. Now we're going to look at his death. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at a couple of things here. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 14, verse 3. The Bible says, "Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife." We talked about Herodias a little while ago. We're going to see how she played a big part in his death. "For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.'" John talking to Herod. "Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet." Let's turn over to Mark chapter 6. That's where we're going to pick up the story. Beginning in verse 17. "For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.'" He had been telling him this. "So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him." So Herod knew, okay, I like this guy. I don't want him dead. He's told me some things I didn't particularly care to hear, but he's always told me the truth. And he was always looking out for basically my best interest and was telling me the right way to go. But because John also told Herod about his lifestyle, Herodias, his current wife, and wives of many others, didn't care for that. So Herodias, who was the daughter of Aristobulus and Bernice and the granddaughter of Herod the Great, had been married more than one time and was currently the wife of Herod Philip, which was her uncle. And I thought that stood out a little bit. So sometime after she left her husband and lived publicly with Herod, her brother-in-law, by which she also had a child. All right, and let's take that a little bit deeper. Let's continue reading in Mark chapter 6. Let me get there. We're going to pick up in verse 21. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give up, even up to half of my kingdom." So this girl must really dance good for this man in order for him to make that statement. Amen? She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" And what did her mother say? "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. She was mad at John. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on the platter." The king was greatly disturbed, but because of his oath and his dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. Wow. That's how John died. He was a martyr. Because he preached the word, because he was the one who was to prepare the way for Christ, because he was the one who even told Herod that you're living in sin, because he did what he was supposed to be doing, he lost his life. But that's okay, because we know that John's going to see Jesus again, amen? So now we ask, we'll go through that because we're on the way. How was John a witness to the resurrection if he died before Jesus was actually resurrected? Good question. In John chapter 11 and verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" John was a witness to the resurrection. Jesus was the resurrection. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. He was the one who foretold that Christ was coming, that he was the Messiah. He baptized Jesus. He was a witness to the resurrection. Amen? That concludes our class for this morning. It is 10:40. It is time for you to go get your children, and we'll begin our worship service in 15 minutes. Amen? Amen. Thank you.